today on Real Radio.
And I have noticed that if we are going to be willing to share Jesus Christ, if we are going to be people who are excited about seeing the Word of God go out and seeing things through the eternal perspective, we will be people who will evangelize because Christ is real to us and heaven is real to us and hell is real. And listen, I got to tell you right now, we will fossilize as a church if we don't believe what Jesus Christ has to say.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Apostles' Farewell Address, Part 3, continues now in a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. We're now on the Apostle Paul's third and final missionary journey. The opposition? Well, it's great. But his passion is for all to come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In Parts 1 and 2 of The Apostles' Farewell Address from Acts chapter 20, we learned that Paul's final farewell was filled with love and affection for the people, leaving a lasting impression of comfort and encouragement. We also learned that Paul will soon be heading off to Rome in chains. Still, he remains in Ephesus long enough to deliver his final message to the leaders there. Now in Part 3 from verses 26 through 28 of chapter 20, we'll see how Paul unveils the responsibility of every Christian in the family of God. Today on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that we need to see the church as Christ sees the church, and we need to see the world as Christ sees it. What does that mean? Well, it means that we take advantage of every opportunity to share the gospel in love and with the humility of Christ. And now, continuing his lesson called The Apostles' Farewell Address, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
So now we've got a very serious situation here. What is he saying? He says, I testify to you this day. You should circle or underline this day in your Bible. Paul is speaking about handing the baton over on that particular day. Now, I like this stuff, and I kind of like Paul right here because I'm a lunatic for keeping track of days and times and stuff. I like that stuff. I can tell you where I was sitting when I got born again, the day of the week. I can almost tell you what time it was. I just like that stuff. Maybe I should work for the IRS. I don't know. I just like it, though. It's fun. You know, when was that? Oh, that was, January 26, 1985. I just kind of like that stuff. Well, Paul is saying, I'm gathering you guys here, and I solemnly swear to you all this day. Check your calendars. Check your watches, boys. It's this day that I hand the baton over, Have you guys, gals, anybody run the 440 relay, the baton? I used to do that in high school, and you can't tell now, but I used to be real quick. I was fast, and I was the last guy, what you'd know him by, to get the baton. And you know what? The gun goes off, and you see your first guy, and he's going, second guy, third guy. Then you're kind of like, okay, here we go, and you're getting a little antsy there. And that baton and that guy's coming, and you got to start your lead just at the right time. And everything's going, and the crowd's going nuts, and everything's great. And you know what? The most critical part about a relay is, of course, run fast. That's presupposing that you run fast. But the next thing is handing the baton over. And you take that baton, and that guy's got it in his right hand, and you've got your left hand out. And there's really two critical steps. Number one, the guy places that baton in your hand, and he doesn't set it there like a Twinkie. He slaps the palm of your hand and it snaps. I mean, it smarts. He doesn't let go until your left hand, he sees the white of your knuckles on that baton. And all that happens in a millisecond of time. Once you get going, you can either hold it in your left or transfer it over. Coaches hate for you to transfer it over to your right hand. Why? Any handshake, any exchange creates a margin or possibility of error. Paul is committing his work and his 3 years of labor in the church of Ephesus in that region over to these other pastors, and he's slapping the truth into their hands, so to speak, so that they do not drop that baton to carry on the work of God. Listen, Jesus promised that the work of God would always continue. He told Peter, upon your declaration, Peter, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church. Who builds the church? Jesus builds the church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. That's still true today, you know. Jesus doesn't start something and not finish it. Jesus began the work. He sent his promise to the work, the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and his work goes out through the earth, and you are, and I am, the tools that God wants to use to reach the world. Very important. We need to be willing. The next thing that we need to see in verse 26 is that we need to see people through eternity glasses, so to speak. We need to be thinking. When he says this day, it speaks of a specific time. And Jesus Christ warns us about a specific time. Paul the Apostle tells us in another place. Paul preaches in 2 Thessalonians 1:10. That Jesus Christ will come, and in that day he will be glorified. There's a day coming when Jesus will return. Paul operates with this eternal mindset. How about an eternal clock in his own life? Everywhere Paul went, he shared the good news of Christ. What do we do today? Set our clocks back because it's no longer now daylight savings time. Well, Paul never fiddled with such things. He was always on soul saving time. It was always the right time for him. We need to walk like that. Listen, people, I don't want to get you too upset. But Jesus spoke about hell more than any other author and any other speaker in the Bible. He says it's real. I know it's not popular to talk about that. Churches shrink, you know, when you talk about hell. And we need seating in here today, second service, so we'll talk about hell just a little bit and free up some seats next week. But it's a real place. That's why he went to the cross, because it's real. He doesn't want anybody to go there. Well, it's metaphorical. Oh, really? Then why did he not bleed metaphorical blood? Then why didn't he metaphorically die and rise from the dead 3 days later? Because it's real. And I have noticed that if we are going to be willing to share Jesus Christ, if we are going to be people who are excited about seeing the Word of God go out and seeing things through the eternal perspective, we will be people who will evangelize, because Christ is real to us and heaven is real to us and hell is real. And listen, I got to tell you right now, we will fossilize as a church if we don't believe what Jesus Christ has to say. We'll fossilize because, listen, I have found out in my life that when I'm excited about going to heaven, when I can't wait, when I'm thinking about God, you know what happens in your life and mine? We're a little bit contagious. We wind up telling people, hey, man, you going to heaven? I don't know. I what about it? Most people you bring it up to, hey, if you died today, would you go to heaven? They kind of like freak out. Tell them, you know, listen, Jesus Christ died on the cross. You can go to heaven, pal. You can come to faith in Christ right now. Listen, the thing is, if you believe that there's a heaven and a hell and we're coming to a point in time that day, so to speak, you will be excited about telling people. But look, if you're not excited about telling people, then I want to ask you this question. Are you really sure you're going there yourself? I mean, I'm excited to tell you that we're going to have this outreach this evening because I've seen it, I've tasted it, I've experienced it, and I can't wait for you to see it. Well, listen, when you're excited about heaven, you can't wait to tell people about it because it's a reality in your life. That will fuel your evangelism. We need to see that there's an eternity that is coming. The third thing that we need to see in verse 26 is that we not only should have a clear conscience like Paul had, and we should not only be doing these things about seeing eternal perspectives and being willing to share. But the third thing is that we need to be innocent of the outcome. This is powerful. Whatever is at stake here, people, Paul is saying, I'm innocent of the outcome, suggesting that the outcome could be unfavorable for some people. He says, I'm innocent of the blood of all men. The word innocent means to be cleared of the task or to complete the work. We need to ask this question right now. How on earth do we become literally innocent of the blood of all men? Listen, Paul said it. Can you say it? Can I say it? Can we say it as a church? And you might be saying this morning, well, Jack, that doesn't apply to me. It does apply to you. Now, if you're not a Christian this morning, it doesn't apply to you. But to those of us who are believers today, we're to be telling the world about Christ, telling the world about Christ in such a way that they bring about a response in their heart. But how do we answer this question? What does it mean to be innocent of the blood? Two things. Jot them down if you would. First of all, we need to see the church the way Jesus sees the church. That's how we, first of all, become innocent of the blood of all men. We need to see the church like he sees it. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 19 tells us that Jesus Christ has given us all authority to proclaim the gospel around the world. That is a church thing. That's the church thing to do. World evangelism. That's what we do. That's what we do going to Russia. That's what we do going down the street. All of us get together. Some of you are praying. Some of you are going. Some of you are funding people to go. We all get together. That's the church thing to do. Well, the second thing is how we answer this question, how do we become innocent of the blood of all men, is not only the corporate sense in the body of Christ, the church, but also in the individual sense. We need to see the world the way Jesus sees it. In 2 Timothy 4:5, the scripture says, you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist. Notice it's not an evangelist that we are, but we are to do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry, he says. That's our thing to do. Now, listen to this. If you're shy or not sure or you're new to the Lord and you don't know the gospel and how you could present it, do us a favor and yourself a favor. Do you know anyone? Does anybody know anybody who's not saved yet going to heaven? Raise your hand. You ought to give us their address. Now, they might be sitting next to you and you brought them today, so you might want to write someone else's address down. But if you don't want to go share with them, that's okay. Time will come for you to do that. But in the meantime, why don't you give us their address? And we'll go share the good news with them. Why? Well, we have an agenda. I know we've always said for the last several years of this church's existence that we don't have an agenda. We do have an agenda. Our agenda is to bring every man, woman, and child, every one of them that we possibly can, into the kingdom to get them to heaven. That's our agenda. And either if we do it corporately as a church in an outreach, or we do it individually as believers. Here's a real quick thing in the meantime. Jot it down. I'm going to give you four things about how to bring the gospel to someone in your life. We need to take advantage of the opportunities. The first thing is you got to meet people. Look around this place. Chances are you turned around before we started the service and you saw people that you don't know. You've never met them before. Now, I'm going to ask those of you who call this church, your home fellowship. From now on, I want you to start greeting people you don't know. The ones that you do know, you know, you guys pretty much sit in the same spot pretty much most of the week. Don't you get tired of greeting the same guy over and over again? Look, he already knows you love him. Start targeting people you don't know. Go there, hey, nice to meet you. My name's Jack. I'm glad that you're here. Are you new? Oh, we're visiting. Oh, great, nice to meet you. At home, your neighbors, at the job. We'll never get the gospel to them unless we meet them. We got to meet them. So meet them. Hi, my name's Billy Bob. I just got hired here today. Meet them. Can we do this? Can all of us do this? Can we meet people? You know, some of you is like, oh, no, I'm not into meeting people. Remember, heaven, you're going there. They may not be going. Meet them. The next thing that we need to do is love them. Oh, now, wait a minute, Jack. I don't know. I just met them. How can I love them? I'm asking you to do it this way. You not only meet them, but you love them, and this is what I'm talking about. Guys, we can all get into this. This is not some little cuddly, warm, and fuzzy thing. I'm talking about when you're mowing your lawn, well, go ahead and jump your property line and mow his lawn too. Trash cans are out. You know, the trash truck comes by and throws your cans all over the street. Put them up. Put them to take what? Put yours away and put his away. That guy's going to think you're nuts. He's got to come and say, what are you doing? I mean, you mowed my lawn. You took my trash cans. Well, what is with you? Well, that's point three. Tell him. Well, you know, I just thought I'd do it. Our pastor was talking about this thing in the study, and you know, it seems kind of crazy to me too. But he said for us to go home and do this, and you know, and I'm doing it because I'm a Christian. Oh, you're a Christian, huh? Yeah. Oh well, okay. Now watch this. You've met him. What was number two? What is it? Love them. Tell them. And then show them. Show them is, it could be a month, could be a year, could be 10 years. While you're loving this guy, changing his tire, hi, John, how are you? Whatever it is, listen, you're going to drive him absolutely nuts. You've told him the gospel. Make sure you tell him the gospel, okay? Not some story. Tell them Jesus. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15. You ever have a doubt? 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 3. Paul gives you the gospel there that Jesus Christ came. He died for our sins. He was buried. And he rose again from the dead. And he's coming back. Now that took about 7-8 seconds. We got to tell them. Then you show them. The fourth thing is show them by a life that backs up the witness. You've told them about Christ, now live like it. For crying out loud, who in the world wants to listen to somebody talk about God and they've got double standards? Nobody respects anybody like that. I think that's why Billy Graham has got such an incredible platform in the world today, is because Billy Graham lives what he preaches, and he has for decades. Even the people who can't stand what he says respect him because he does what he says. And that is a great sermon to preach. Dwight L. Moody, on October 8, 1871, Dwight L. Moody was preaching a message in Chicago, and the Holy Spirit had told him, get to the point. Give these people an altar call. Dwight L. Moody, in his own words, said that time was running late. He saw ushers begin to look at their watches. People began to get antsy. Moody looked at his own pocket watch and realized and determined it was too late to keep going. He ended the message without an altar call. And on that night, some cow knocked over a lantern and burnt down Chicago. And Dwight L. Moody said that he would never preach a message again publicly without giving an altar call, because many people were affected by that terrible fire. Serious stuff. Get to the point. They need Jesus Christ. You're going to leave this place today and you're going to heaven. There may be people around you, certainly people out there who are not. The Bible says these things have been written that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know today. And in a moment, we'll give you an opportunity to come to Christ. But can you imagine? Let's get to the point. Can you imagine you come home 2 o'clock in the morning, pull up, total dark, and your neighbor's house is glowing, and there's smoke coming out of the windows, and it's on fire? What do you do? Oh, gosh, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I could wake them up. I don't want to be rude. But their house is on fire. Excuse me, fire. Oh, come on. You don't care what time of the day it is. Hey, man, fire! Why? Because they could die. And there's no second chance. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 20, around verse 27, I think it is, 28, 27. It's appointed unto every man once to die and then the judgment. There's no second chance after death. That's what Hebrews 9:27 is all about. We must make our decision now. Well, we have the volition and the will. Jesus talks to us in this life of not coming to faith in Him. He says if in this life we denounce Him or not confess Him, He said in eternity I'll have to deny and not confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But Paul says he's free. He's clear of the blood of all men. Real quickly, this is taken from Ezekiel chapter 3 and chapter 33 of Ezekiel, where God called Ezekiel to establish watchmen on the walls of the city. And if the watchmen saw an enemy coming with swords, the watchman was to take the trumpet and blow the horn and warn the city. And God says if the city would not take shelter by reason of the blowing of your trumpet, and that invading army came against them and destroyed the city, God said, Ezekiel, your hands are free from their blood because you warned them and they didn't choose to take cover. I don't require their blood at your hands. But if you do not blow the trumpet when you see destruction coming and the people perish, Ezekiel, I will hold you personally responsible. That's exactly what Paul is saying right here. Isn't that serious? I'm just talking to Christians this morning. Isn't that serious? We need to be telling people. And so Paul says in his second point, verse 27, as he's completing his missionary journey, he has a clear conscience toward all men, verse 26, and he's been faithful to the biblical message. And there's only really one point here that we need to touch on in verse 27, and that is we need to be faithful to preach a biblical message. We need to give them the gospel and the doctrines of the faith. How do we do this? Being careful to present the truth. Paul says in verse 27 right here, he says, that I have not shunned to declare to you. The word shunned is the same word in verse 20 that we read last week about keeping back. He didn't hold anything back. He let all the chips fly. In other words, he wasn't out to make friends per se. He was out to get people into heaven.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Apostles' Farewell Address, Part 3. Thanks for listening. And when Jesus is first in our lives, our relationship with Him will overflow into ministering to others. The Apostles' Farewell Address, Part 3. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Forgiveness. Sounds simple enough, doesn't it? But oftentimes, it's one of the most difficult things we can do. But no one benefits more than we do when we forgive. And no one suffers more than we do when we don't. Now, the Christmas season, as we all know, can be hard at times, as we're forced to face a family member or a friend that we either need to forgive for hurting us or we need to ask their forgiveness for hurting them. That's why Pastor Jack has chosen December's book of the month. It's called Forgive Your Way to Freedom, Reconcile Your Past, and Reclaim Your Future. It's written by Gil Mertz. Forgive Your Way to Freedom is a powerful tool with practical biblical processes that will help you step by step through the process of forgiveness. Forgive Your Way to Freedom teaches you to release your power to forgive, resolve the pain of past hurts, and helps you restore your peace in the present while reclaiming your purpose for the future. Forgiveness can transform our lives. It can heal our families, unite businesses, and even rebuild nations. How? Because, well, when we forgive, we are most like Christ, who's forgiven us. You can buy the book called Forgive Your Way to Freedom at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. If you'd like to donate, you can do so at Real Life with Jack Hibbs on the app, or just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number, if you'd like to write this down, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.